Welcome to Health Cetera's podcast. For many adults, the aging process can be a complex mix of emotional ups and downs, physical metamorphosis, mental fogs, and much more. And for adults aging during the COVID-19 pandemic, all of these factors have been intensified by global anxiety, lonely quarantines, and the overall unpredictability of the future. This begs the question, how can adults aging in the midst of isolation and tumult find community and certainty while prioritizing their health? Melina Meza is an Ayurvedic health educator and certified yoga instructor who is offering a solution. She hopes to encourage aging adults to establish routines for healthy living by way of specialized yoga classes and group teachings. On this podcast, Eve Adler, Health Cetera correspondent, registered nurse, and registered yoga teacher, hosts Melina Meza for a conversation about the realities of aging during the pandemic and advice for the adults who are navigating this experience. This podcast first aired on Health Cetera in the Catskills on WIOX Radio on February 9th, 2022.
Hello, my name is Eve Adler. I'm a registered nurse, integrative health educator, and Health Cetera correspondent. Today, we'll be talking about healthy aging during a pandemic. I'll be talking with an expert in the health field, asking them what are they hearing from their older clients who are navigating the ever-changing health landscape during the pandemic? What has worked to promote healthy aging? What are some of the issues they're seeing? And what are some tips and resources they may have for our listeners? So let's get started. I'm here today with Melina Meza. Melina has been a pioneer in the fields of nutrition and Ayurvedic health for over 20 years. She's the author of Seasonal Health and Wellness and the Art of Sequencing books, and is a certified yoga for aging teacher who works with individual clients as well as groups teaching about healthy aging. Melina currently teaches a holistic practice tailored to the rhythms of the four seasons to help people stay healthy as they age. So I'm very happy to be here today with Melina. Melina, welcome to Health Cetera.
Hi, Eve. Thanks so much for having me here. It's a real pleasure to be invited to the program.
Did I leave anything out of my introduction of you?
No, I think you did a pretty good job of talking about me as a seasonal yoga teacher. I call myself a seasonal vinyasa yoga teacher to acknowledge that I do tailor my classes and lifestyle practices to flow with the seasons, as you mentioned, and also offer as an Ayurveda educator a little bit more lifestyle practice beyond the yoga mat for people on a regular basis, which I think feeds really nicely into yoga for healthy aging trainings and classes that really emphasize people kind of making adjustments and changes as they go through different stages of life. So that's an aspect of healthy aging that I feel like I like to acknowledge that's influenced by my Ayurveda practice.
Okay. What is healthy aging?
Well, if you ask me, which you are, you might get a different answer from Baxter, my husband, who's co-author of that book, Yoga for Healthy Aging. For me, I feel like healthy aging is about falling in love with things that are good for you as you get older. You know, we learn to make adjustments in our body as we get wiser, perhaps, of figuring out what wasn't working, what wasn't making us feel good. And we make shifts as we age to actually feel better in our body. So healthy aging, I think, includes some pillars, which I identify as diet, sleep, and creativity or purpose. I feel like these are some of the pillars influenced by Ayurveda that I feel like help people age well, in noticing that their physical body often does need to make changes. We might not be able to eat or drink what we used to when we were younger, as we're aging. We might need to make adjustments in how much we sleep or to do certain practices to unwind before going to bed that we never used to do. So we make adjustments to our sleep patterns or to unwind, you know, to get ready to be prepared to have better sleep, because sleep is so integrally tied to our immune health and feeling well and to good digestion. Often that's even influenced by how well you're sleeping. And then that sense of purpose, I feel like there's that mental health aspect of aging well. And if we have creativity, hobbies, or purpose, I feel like there's that aspect that we have more joy and contribution, that people are aging well if we, you know, feel purposeful. But there's an aspect of that that I like to call out.
And, you know, that sounds wonderful. And I'm wondering, how has the pandemic impacted all of that among the clients that you work with?
You know, I think a lot of people are healthier now than they were before the pandemic for a whole bunch of reasons. And I think one of the biggest reasons is that people have established more healthy routines. I think just routines in general help people stabilize their health. And then a lot of people have had access to different kinds of programs or teachers that they never had access to before that maybe have helped enforce or continue to inspire the routine sticking for longer periods than they would have before, because people would have been traveling a lot more. They would have been visiting friends and, you know, going out, having different kinds of adventures further away from home, which often, you know, take you away from going to bed at the same time, waking up at the same time, having meals from your own kitchen, that you're in control of how much sugar and salt, you know, go into these, to your meals. So I think that people having routines, people at home have been, you know, eating more of their own cooked food, which often is going to be easier to digest than eating out a lot, which might have more salt, you know, or items that maybe aren't so easy to digest. People are eating in quiet places at home versus eating in noisy restaurants and maybe having better digestion because of that. But I think in general, routine is helping with potentially for a lot of people, regular meals, regular bedtime, regular wake up, regular yoga practice with a teacher that they like. That I think that adds up, the routine adds up in the long run to being something that really stabilizes people's health. And, you know, maybe even having, you know, more access to, you know, drinking water on a regular basis and feeling comfortable, you know, going to use your own restroom, that these things really help people stay healthy if you're hydrated and have, you know, your own bathroom to go to, that there isn't an interruption in that routine that sometimes throws off people's health when you're not home a lot or not in your own, you know, routine at home.
So people who come to you during this pandemic, are there any issues that they're coming with that you see?
I'd say there's kind of two camps, and one camp is the I live alone camp, and so are much more lonely and feeling isolated and, you know, really come to a lot more sessions than they probably would if they were able to kind of be with friends more and felt safe, you know, visiting people, going out to dinner and socializing. Like, so people who are alone and more isolated, I feel like attend a lot more of my courses to be in community. And I mean, that serves that purpose to be checked in with, or maybe there's, you know, more Facebook group, you know, they participate more. And I really love holding space for people to feel like I'm someone they can reach out to and support them. And then there's the other camp of people who are overextended, who are not alone and have limited space because of more workload, because they're maybe raising family at that age where they have kids and they have so little time for themselves that they're not feeling like their instinct is to choose healthy things to unwind. And then there's that part of themselves that really wants to feel healthy. And so they reach out to me as a way to help guide them towards healthy things rather than unhealthy things to unwind and relax. And so I provide some structure and routine about how to maybe, you know, try certain recipes that are easy to do that will maybe even work well for your whole family. Here's the invitation to do some self-care to unwind. So you do your oil massage, you do a bath in the evening or a shower, boundaries or something we talk about. So that person feels like they have support, because we know to build resilience or to get to maintain their reserves, because they're going to need to continue to be giving a lot to the family. And so I'm kind of that person that they go to that they know is going to give them some practical advice that they can do at home that's reasonable and fill up their tank a little bit. So they'll be nicer moms or parents or just us people when they're not so depleted.
Yeah. Do you think that there are national or policy issues that impact how people can access what you do, or that impact what you can teach?
You know, I think, you know, there's, I think if anything, it's more like the in-person stuff has really changed when it comes to policies. And that's like, you know, depending on where you live, the policies have changed as to, you know, maybe how many people can gather in a place, or, you know, that's been the main one, I feel like, is like how many people can be together in a spot. So the policy in our area, you know, right now is like, okay, we're back to mask on mask mandates. And with mask mandates or with yoga studios being open, but a lot of people not being comfortable coming back yet. I feel like there's a lot of people that are in that isolated, lonely feeling that are really the ones struggling the most, because they're older crowd. They're not comfortable even with booster shots coming in to do yoga. So I have run into some of the people and I notice that they're not maybe moving as much because they're home all the time. Because they're, you know, again, not comfortable coming into the studio and maybe not able to do as much yoga as they used to do. And so the aging is increasing because they're not mobile as much, right? So they're not moving as much and they're then a little bit more fearful about going out and moving. And it's kind of the snowball that I'm really concerned about, you know, what if they don't come back to the studio and they don't have that social time with other people to see people's expression on their face? You know, those that aren't technologically savvy and doing Zoom all the time, you know, there's a lot of my older folks don't do a lot of extra Zoom things. It's a little bit of a stretch for some of them. So not going to classes, not seeing people's facial expressions and having, you know, conversation that would be happening to me is of great concern. But how it relates to policy is just, you know, the mask mandate, the less people allowed to be at a studio at once. But besides that, I feel like there's not a lot of policy that have affected the kind of work that I do. I feel like it's just been able to reach more people, the work that I do. And teaching yoga is one part of it, but I feel like the part that's made the most impact in people's lives is these programs where people come together for 6 weeks or 3 months and get to see the same people, to get the support to every week refresh your investment in self-care. and maybe, you know, have breakout groups and talk to somebody else and see how they're doing in a different part of the country, that there's not a lot of rules or regulation around that, that we really get to kind of design these programs and include, you know, everyone from anywhere. To me, that's more what the pandemic has been like for me as a teacher, is to really extend my audience and be more inclusive in the teachings.
Yes, I mean, you know, what you're talking about in terms of people returning to spaces, I've heard, especially among older people, saying, you know, I'm never gonna not wear a mask. I'm not gonna go back to these kind of spaces again. Yeah. What kind of tips, resources would you offer an adult about healthy aging during this time?
I am a huge believer of trying to create routines, daily routines that align with the sun. It's one of kind of an Ayurveda idea. It's not just an Ayurveda idea, this moving with the circadian rhythm and with the natural light, the rising of the sun, to encourage people to establish daily routines where they're up, and when they're up early to start their morning routine, to think about hydrating themselves. You know, as we're aging in Ayurveda, there's this idea that we're all getting, our tissues are drying. It's nothing personal, but we all dry a little bit as we age. And we notice on the skin, we notice, you know, literally a shrinking of the body. So how can we start the day with that intention to hydrate, to feel, you know, more connected to that wakefulness that comes when our brain is clear and we're less stiff because we've hydrated in the morning? That is one thing as we age, I feel like, is really important. And I know a lot of people, because I work with people all over, that a lot of people don't do that. And I feel like it's really accessible, an accessible step toward health, is to have that first glass of water in the morning. And for a lot of people who are also on medications, or as we age and we move into this sort of drier time of our life, a lot of times the medications or our body changes in a way where we're more constipated in the morning. So having that room temperature warm water is a way to move again towards that elimination, which then again is a signal again, okay, now it's time to bring new things into the body for the day. So having that morning ritual of hydrating, and then an evening ritual, if I was to give people two things, is to consider, you know, having a regular bedtime. And I know if one is retired, for example, you get to go to bed whenever you want. You might not have to get up to work the next day and meet a responsibility. But it seems, you know, from my experience and from working with a lot of people, is that people generally function so much better if they go to bed at the same time every day and wake up at the same time every day and create those bookends for one to notice when you're going to bed at the same time every day, that maybe sleep is better than when you're going to bed at a lot of different times over the course of 1 week. So if we hit the target of going to bed regularly, oftentimes we'll have a similar, we'll be able to notice when we wake up in the morning what's different. And did I have solid sleep, or was my sleep interrupted? And maybe we can start tracking what, you know, we're eating that doesn't work for us before bed, or what we're watching or reading before bed that isn't working and interrupt our sleep. And really kind of change or get rid of those things that disrupt your sleep, like, you know, watching a whole bunch of Netflix shows before bed that stimulate you, and to try to, you know, instead maybe then reading, you know, and if it's reading that's stimulating, you've got that series of books, of mystery books you can't put down, to go to reading, you know, more meditative, insightful, or poetry before bed. So it's more reflective and inspirational, and that helps you to sleep well. So that you're kind of winding your day down in a way that helps promote good sleep. And then the morning, the water is that first thing that triggers, you know, elimination and clarity. to make good choices then throughout the day. So those are two bookend things of two accessible, very inexpensive things that people can do. And then if I had the third piece, then I think everyone, I'm into accessible medicine is nature, to be sure during the day to put on the right clothes, to make sure you get outside time every day to be inspired by something new, like to go and witness beauty and discover something new in your neighborhood, out your window, that brings that sense of awe. And that sense of awe brings, in my experience, just really fast healing and calm and joy. So those are three inexpensive things that I feel like most people can do. And I think actually lead towards really great health if they do that regularly.
I love those three suggestions.
Thanks for letting me ramble a little bit there.
No, that's good. That's good. If our audience wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
Yeah, my website is one place. It's MelinaMeza.com. And I think Instagram, my name is MelinaMeza108. If you want to see the kind of beauty that I'm talking about, because maybe you want to start your own awe beauty practice, and you can get a sense of what I'm seeing, and doesn't have to be a work of art. Right? You're just going out to see some beautiful color or something that, you know, this means winter to you. Or maybe it's starting to blossom where you live, like I am. And so maybe you're watching a transition from winter to spring, and it's really beautiful to keep track of that. Yeah, my website is the best place. If you're on Facebook, I'm there too. Like to kind of stay connected to people in all the ways that I can. So I do a newsletter. If you're on my website, get up for the newsletter. Lots of recipes and poems come along with those. Other great ways, again, to stay healthy is cooking good food. So I like to inspire people to find easy recipes to keep you close to the stove.
Wonderful. I would like to thank Melina Meza for spending some time with me today. I'm Eve Adler, and you have been listening to Health Cetera.
Thank you, Eve.
You've been listening to a podcast of Health Cetera in the Catskills. For more podcasts and discussions of important health issues and policies affecting health, go to Health Cetera's website and blog at www.healthmediapolicy.com. That's www.healthmediapolicy.com. This podcast was produced by Dr. Diana Mason and production assistant Kai Volsey.